We thank God for him. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I know you didn't just think we would have a video and I wouldn't preach. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. I promise to attempt to be brief, but I do want to draw a parallel between Veterans Day and what we celebrate here tonight and give thanks for tonight and for what God has done for us. The reality is, friends, we have spiritual warfare as well as we've had physical warfare over the years as a nation. We have spiritual warfare as a nation, as families, as individuals, and just as a human race. And so we want to learn about that. Romans 5, if you're able, let's stand together to honor the Word of God tonight. Romans 5, verses 1 through 8. The Word of God says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all who have come tonight. May your word convict our hearts, and I do pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here who has been defeated by sin, who has been defeated by Satan, Lord, who has never repented of their sin and put their faith in Christ alone for salvation, that tonight would be the night they would repent, believe on you, and receive the gift of eternal life, to be changed from a person with enmity with you, God, that they would have peace with you through Christ Jesus our Lord. And Father, please bless our veterans again. Please help and bless your word, that any decision that needs to be made tonight, that your will would be done. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want to give you just a little bit of history, but just to give you the idea of what we're trying to talk about tonight. I believe, and I could possibly be wrong, but I believe the ultimate goal of every soldier ought to be peace. There's a lot of young men with a lot of bravado that want to be in combat. They want to get in the middle of that. But I believe that any seasoned veteran, the hope that they would have in their heart is for peace. Peace for our nation and peace for their family and peace for our country and peace. We don't want to go to war. And by the way, that's why we need to have, one of the reasons we need to have a strong military, it helps to avert war.
Amen.
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 Sorry, I thought I was in the South. Some of you might be more behind that. We need to have that.
Amen.
But the purpose of having a military, the purpose of our armed forces, is to maintain peace. That's the purpose. Well, I want you to understand something tonight. Spiritually speaking, all of us, every one of us, at some point in our life, and maybe somebody here tonight still, has been an enemy of God. You have not had peace with God.
Amen.
And just like the peace we enjoy in America today was bought at a great price, to have peace with God, there had to be a great price paid, and Jesus Christ paid that price for all mankind. And so we can have peace. I want to give you a little history very quickly, though, before I get into it too far tonight. World War I was known as the Great War, and it officially ended when the Treaty of Versailles was signed June 28, 1919, in the Palace of Versailles outside the town of Versailles in France. But there was a ceasefire that happened before that, a truce that had been declared, an armistice, if you will. And so the ceasefire, the armistice, happened on November the 11th. And it happened on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And it was to be, that was to be the war to end all wars. And so that treaty came, that ceasefire came on 11-11 at 11 o'clock. And so that's why we celebrate this day on November the 11th. For many years, it was known as Armistice Day, and it was established to remember those who had given their lives in World War I. And those men and women who fought and died, and those who survived that terrible war, hoped that that would be the end of it. It was devastating to the world in a way nothing had ever been before, and they hoped that would be the end of it. Of course, we know it wasn't the end of it. And we have been in many battles and many wars since then, and many more have given their lives. And so later on, the Congress declared that it would not just be Armistice Day to commemorate World War I, but it would be Veterans Day to commemorate all veterans of all wars. And so that's what we have. But I want to share with you what President Woodrow Wilson said November the 11th in 1919 to the first commemoration of Armistice Day. He said this: "To us in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in the country's service, and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing which it has freed us and because of the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of the nations." And so he said, we need this to be a time to remember what God has done, a time to remember what these men have done, to remember and to rejoice, to give thanks in what they have done. So we want to talk about that a little bit here tonight. First of all, we need to remember. He said the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in this country's service. And can I just tell you, we ought to have some pride for our nation. Now, I'm not talking about an ungodly pride. I'm not talking about a fleshly pride. I'm not talking about our army's bigger than your army or our navy's better than your navy. I'm talking about just a pride to say God has given us this freedom. God has raised up men and women to defend that freedom and to give the sacrifice. God is the one who's given us the victory. We ought to be proud of that. We ought to be proud as a nation and thankful as a nation. I think this solemn pride that President Wilson talked about is a pride that comes from a heart of gratefulness. Everybody see that? There's a wrong kind of pride. Don't get me wrong here tonight, but there's a right kind of pride too. Just a godly gratefulness and that kind of pride. We need to remember. Now, spiritually speaking, we've got something great we ought to remember too, don't we? As we remember those heroes who gave their lives, we ought to remember our Savior who gave His life. We just read about it in Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. Look at it again. For verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And I think about those men and women who have fought. I think about those men who fought in the trenches, those bands of brothers who would gladly die for their brothers in arms. They would gladly take a bullet for the one who's in the foxhole with them. They would gladly give their life for that one who they live with and train with and ate with and slept with and fought with. They would gladly do that. But you know what? God didn't just die for the good ones. God died for everybody. Amen. You realize that Jesus Christ died as much for you as He did for Hitler? Amen. Now that's the love of God. That's beyond our comprehension, but that's the love of Christ. And He died for everybody so that everybody could be saved. And we ought to remember the great sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Listen, there's probably not anybody in this room tonight that doesn't know the story of the Passion of Christ. You know how that Jesus Christ was beaten and scourged. You know how that He was driven up that hill to Golgotha. You know how He was nailed to the cross and hoisted up in front of everybody. You know how He gave out His last breath. And He said, before that, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know the sacrifice that He gave. He did all of that for you and for me. Amen. And He did it for the whole world. His love is beyond our understanding, and His great love, we ought to remember. And can I tell you that His love and His sacrifice, it ought to move us to love and to sacrifice as well. In 1 John 3:16, the Bible says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." You know, it ought to stir us up to remember what Christ has done.
Amen.
It ought to motivate us to live for Him.
Amen.
I told you, I didn't serve in our military. I'll be honest with you, it was a tough decision for me. I basically chose between going into the Air Force or going into the ministry. And some of you are probably trying to figure out whether that was a good choice or not, but it was a difficult decision for me. I feel like I followed God's call, but there's still something back there in my heart, my mind, that says I wish I would have served. And the reason is because I feel I owe a debt. When I look at others who served, it does something in me that makes me want to do something. At the very least, I want to be a decent citizen because people died so I could be a citizen.
Amen.
You know, I don't want to be worthless. I look at the sacrifice and I think about this day, Veterans Day, and you remember what's been done. It ought to at least motivate you to want to be a decent human being in our society.
Amen.
It ought to motivate us. And as a Christian, when you think about what Christ has done, it ought to motivate us. When you consider that He died, we ought to lay down our lives for others. Remember, number two, rejoice. Rejoice. In verses 2-5, we said, "But whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." And this remembering what's been done for us brings us to rejoicing. And that's exactly what President Wilson said. "And with gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing from which it has freed us and because of the opportunity it has given." I love it. He said, listen, we ought to give thanks today because we've been saved from the tyranny of these who would oppress us, who would take away our freedom, and it's given us an opportunity to live in freedom and to do something great in the world.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Man, we ought to rejoice. We ought to have gratitude. We ought to have thanks to God because of what He's done. And spiritually, do you see it? Listen, friend, if you have repented of your sin, you put your faith and trust in Jesus, if you've been saved, Jesus said it like this, born again. If you've been born again, I'm trying to think of all the ways you can say it because people have got it all messed up.
Amen.
If you have received the gift of eternal life by faith in Christ, God has freed you from something and He's given you an opportunity to live for something.
Amen.
Do you see it?
Amen.
He's freed us from sin and death and hell, and He's given us forgiveness of sin, life, and an eternal home in heaven. He talks about the grace through faith that we have and the hope we have through tribulation, patience, and experience. And by the way, just because you've been saved doesn't mean everything's going to be easy.
Amen.
It just means that we've got an opportunity to live.
Amen.
We've got an opportunity to be changed, to make a difference through Christ, and we ought to rejoice for what we have. I get sick at my stomach at people in this nation who do not have respect for our veterans.
Amen.
We're a godly family. At our house, we like to watch football.
Amen.
Those of you that don't like to watch football, I pray for you. That's a joke, by the way. Are you seeing some of you going and running to Facebook right after church? I do love to watch football, and I'm kind of weird. We record a lot of football games and watch them just whenever we can so we can fast forward through the commercials. By the way, Jonathan said the other night, we were listening to a football game on the radio. He said, "I don't like watching this game on the radio. You can't fast forward through the commercials." Yeah, that's rough, isn't it? How these kids will ever make it in this world today, I don't know. But I like to watch the national anthem at the beginning of the games. I like to hear the people sing it. I like to hear the bands play it. This week they've had the Army bands and different ones out there, and of course they're just awesome. I love it. But you know, while they're playing it, they're scanning through the crowd and through the players, and man, I love it when you see the coaches or the players with their hand in their heart and the words on their mouth and the tear in their eye. I love it.
Amen.
But then you see some people with their phone out, looking down at their phone. Or just with their arms down to the side, looking around at the birds flying around or something. And I got to tell you, it does something inside of me. It makes me sick to my, it makes me angry.
Amen.
We ought to be grateful. for what we have. Amen. And we ought to honor and respect it. And I believe, listen, we don't worship that flag over there, but it represents something.
Amen.
And we ought to honor and give thanks for what's been done to for us. And listen, if I get that sick at my stomach over people who don't respect the national anthem, I tell you what it does to me when people walk all over the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll be honest with you, though. It doesn't make me angry near as much as it breaks my heart. People trod underfoot the gospel of Jesus Christ. His sacrifice that he gave, they make a mockery of him. They laugh about him. They ridicule those who believe in him. And it breaks my heart for them. No, we need to rejoice for what's been done for us. He's given us freedom and he's given us an opportunity to make a difference in the world through his name. Remember, rejoice, and number three, respect. President Wilson went on to say, it has given America to show her sympathy or understanding or like-mindedness with peace and justice in the councils of the nations. Now, this is right after World War I. The United States was involved with that conflict for about a year and a half, and it was the United States of America who had a huge impact in helping to turn the tide of the war for the Allied forces. And many of our men and women gave their lives in service. At that time, there were 4.7 million service members in the United States military. There were 53,402 soldiers killed in battle. He said, we understand something here. We've got a sympathy. We know a little bit about this. We're in it with you in this conflict that the world had seen and this price that has been paid. And when we talk about respect tonight, I believe that it means that we should live in a way that honors the price that has been paid for our freedom and the peace that we enjoy today. We ought to respect our nation, but respect our veterans. And though our nation is not perfect, it was still founded on the principles of the Word of God. Amen. And we still have God-given freedoms today. Amen. And we ought to be thankful. Look back at verse 1 in our text. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not right with God. We're at enmity. We're enemies of God. But through we deserve the wrath of a holy God. But through faith, we're justified. When you come to God through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, you're justified. You're made right in the eyes of God. Amen. And we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And when you consider what God has done for us, we need to respect and honor Him with our lives. Philippians 4 and verse 9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I want to tell you, we ought to be thankful for the sacrifices that have been made. In World War I, 53,402 service members gave their lives in battle. In World War II, 291,557 gave their lives in battle. In the Korean War, from 1950 to 1953, 36,574 died in theater. In the Vietnam War, from 1964 to 1975, 58,220 died in theater. Desert Shield and Desert Storm, 383 died in theater. And when you consider Operation Iraqi Freedom and the ongoing conflicts, thousands more have given their lives for freedom in the world today. And it's not just freedom here in America, but the United States soldier, the United States troop, the United States service members have stood for freedom around the globe. We ought to remember. I want to tell you about one man. And to pick one out of the thousands upon thousands that have died. But I think that Alvin York gives a great picture. Amen. Sergeant Alvin York was once described as World War I's greatest civilian soldier. He began the conflict actually as an objector. He didn't want to go. He said it conflicted with his religious beliefs, but when he was compelled to go, he went. In May 1918, he arrived in France along with the 82nd Division of the United States Army. York made his name on October 8, 1918, in a famous incident during the Meuse-Argonne Offensive. He and about 17 other Americans had just captured troops from a German regiment when they found themselves under heavy fire from enemy machine guns. Nine of the Americans were quickly wounded or killed, but York, a crack shot from his days as a turkey hunter, escaped unscathed and began picking off the German gunners with his rifle. When six of the enemy tried to charge York with bayonets, he drew his .45 pistol and shot them all. He had soon forced the remaining Germans to surrender and later claimed even more prisoners on his way back to the Americans' lines. All told, York and his men captured 132 enemy soldiers, and he may have single-handedly killed around 20 German troops. He was awarded the Medal of Honor, the Distinguished Service Cross, and several other citations for bravery. But he didn't want the spotlight. He didn't want the recognition. So when he finished his time in the Army, he returned home to Tennessee and took up farming. Amen. Listen, and he is one of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of men and women who faithfully serve this nation. And when you think about men like Alvin York today, I want to encourage you to remember, to rejoice, and to respect them. But more than that, infinitely more than that, as grateful as we ought to be for their sacrifice, you cannot really make a comparison with what they've done to the freedom and peace that comes through Christ. Amen. He gave everything to give us peace with God. And tonight I want to ask you a question. Do you have peace with God? I've been saved a little while. I've been in church most of my life, and I didn't spend too terribly long of my the time I was of the age of accountability when I knew I needed to be saved. I didn't spend just terribly long time unsaved. So I've known the peace of God for the vast majority of my life. Amen. It's hard for me to even imagine what it's like to live without the peace of God. Listen, I sin against the Lord on a regular basis. Sometimes far worse than others. I'm not proud of that, but that's the fact. But I know that no matter what I do, no matter what I say, I still, in the end of it all, I have peace with God. Do you have peace with the Lord tonight? Do you know without any doubt when you die you'll be in heaven with God? If you don't, let me show you in the Bible how you can know for sure you have eternal life. We're going to get ready for an invitation. I'm going to ask you to all stand with me if you would please. And while they're coming, would you pray with me? Father, I just ask that you bless this invitation we're about to have. I pray you convict hearts, Lord, and humble our hearts that we wouldn't be too proud. If there's anyone here that needs to make a decision, let them come. Trust in you. Make a commitment to you. Whatever it is, Father, I pray your will would be done in every heart and every life. Thank you for Jesus who died for us and rose again. And help us, Lord, to have faith and trust in you. I pray that every person in this room tonight that's of the age of accountability, that they will have peace with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I ask it in his name. Amen. We're going to sing
page 521.
Number 521 in your hymnal. If the Holy Spirit's convicted your heart tonight, there's a decision that you need to make. Would you come?